think through your mind, can you recount an experience in your life when a person, a group, a church or company treated you so well that you told other people about it? You thinking through that? Maybe you had a wonderful meal. Maybe a doctor healed you or saved the life of a loved one. Maybe you had an experience with a business where they went above and beyond. Maybe somebody did something for you that you had to tell someone else about. It was such a good job, such a well performance that you had to share with somebody what happened. A few years ago, my oldest daughter, who just had our grandbaby, and our son-in-law talked us into going, my wife and I, going into a cruise. And so we did a Disney cruise to Alaska, and it was a wonderful event. As we crossed customs in Canada, the people on the border asked, where are you going? So we're going on a cruise to Vancouver, and said, well, what cruise? Said Disney cruise. And they looked in the back seat and said, there's no children there. Are you sure it's a Disney cruise? Yeah, it's our anniversary. You're going on a Disney cruise. One of the best decisions we made, because the service of Disney was impeccable. Not once did I hear any foul language. Everybody was friendly. A group greeted us when we came on the ship, and the captain shook our hand as we left. Nobody was inebriated. The service was above and beyond. The servers knew our name the first night, and they followed us throughout the week. Servers knew by the second meal that I don't like onions and I enjoy Diet Dew, and they made sure that was part of my menu. Everybody was friendly, and the service was above and beyond. On ship, we were walking upstairs, and about half a stairway, and ahead of us, somebody slipped and fell, and before I could count to three, three crew members were there helping the person up. Disney was above and beyond. We went to go see a glacier, and as a very sunny day, there you could see us with Minnie as she is decked out in her Klondike gear. They had a marine biologist come online and share with us what we were seeing in glaciers and what they do. Everything was spotless, clean, friendly, warm, and the service was wonderful. Leaving the ship as we shook the captain's hands, and as we were walking back to our vehicle, I told my wife, part of me feels like I was at church because people were so warm and friendly, and part of me feels like saying, I wish the church could be at some times more like that. That was our Disney experience. See, the whole point of Disney is just not that you have a good time and a wonderful experience, but you what? You come back. Disney's goal, get you to come back. Disney has a plus 70 success rate. You ever been to Disney, one of the Disney parks? Not to raise your hand, but their whole goal is that you come back. Yeah, okay. By the way, I'm not a salesman for Disney, but if you share my name, I'll get a 10%. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that, okay? They are very winsome. I like to say that they're very winsome, and I'm sure you've had people in your life who are winsome to you because their service and care, love and devotion for you. Winsome, what does that mean? Pleasing and engaging, childlike charm and innocence, attractive and appealing in appearance or character. So we know winsome people in our life, and Disney was definitely winsome. You could see that sweetly or innocent, charmly, engaging. The early Christian church, as we heard in the book of Acts, was also winsome. Can you read it with me? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of the bread and prayer. Miracles and wonders filled others with awe. Believers were together, shared things in common, sold them as people had need. Daily they worshiped together in the temple courts and ate together. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And they enjoyed the favor of all the people. The early church was winsome. They gathered together frequently. They prayed together. They broke bread. They received the Lord's Supper. They gave as people had need. They loved and cared for each other. And Scripture tells us that they enjoyed the favor of all the people. They were very winsome, and God blessed them. They were very winsome. Sadly, at times, the church can be in conflict. And even our times, even our church, we can be in conflict. That's just part of a sinful, fallen, messed up world, and sometimes it affects the church. The church can be in conflict, and that's not very winsome. So I'd like to tell you a church that was in conflict, and that was the church in Corinth. Hence, 1 and 2 Corinthians, books in the Bible. Let me tell you a little bit about Corinth. Corinth was a decadent, worldly city. I had a few Christians in it. Now, excuse me as I try to relate it to you, but if I could think of a city today that might have that reputation, earned or not earned, I think about Las Vegas. Now, nothing wrong with Las Vegas. I saw a t-shirt that says, "What happens in Vegas, what?" I saw another shirt that said, "What happens in Vegas happens here." Okay? I'm not going to go there. Corinth was a very decadent city and very pagan and with some lewd and decadent behavior, and it was known for that. But there were Christians there. Do you know that there's LCMS churches in Las Vegas now? There are. There's a very large church in Las Vegas. There's also a very large Lutheran school in Las Vegas that is thriving with over 700 students. And so much like Corinth, Corinth was a very decadent, rude city in which a few Christians lived. And there was conflict in the church. And what was the source of conflict? Well, there are mature, knowledgeable believers and weaker, less knowledgeable members and believers, probably much like our church and much not unlike most other churches. There are mature Christians and immature Christians in the church, but that wasn't the source of the conflict. The source of the conflict was this. Should Christians eat meat sacrificed to idols and funds to support pagan temples? So in Corinth, this very decadent pagan city, the norm was that animals were sacrificed on a pagan altar to a pagan god, and that meat was then sold in the marketplace. So it's sort of like this. Let's say you go to Chief, or you go to Walmart, or you go to, I don't know, you go to Aldi, or wherever you shop at. Just pretend that 90% of the meat there or at Kroger's comes from meat sacrificed to idols. That was just a common business there. And some people were very offended by it. Why brought home meat that was sacrificed to a pagan idol in a pagan temple to a pagan god? And I'm really struggling with this. And should Christians eat that? Should Christians buy that? Are we then supporting pagan temples and pagan gods that don't exist? And that was the discussion. Well, let me bring this up. Let me bring it to today. Should Christians and pastors go to bars, gambling casinos, and boats? Interesting question. Let me flip back here. So let me explain to you about idols. Idols aren't real. They're figments of one imagination. An idol is nothing. An idol exists in the heart of a believer, and they worship something that doesn't exist. You know, money, fame, pleasure, whatever a person's idol is. Dr. Martin Luther said that an idol is a god that is found outside of Scripture, and the true God is found inside of Scriptures. Idols do not exist. No matter how much people worship and adore them and give them attention and sacrifice to them, idols are not real. And so, let's go to the next question. Should Christians and pastors be able to go to bars, gambling casinos, and boats? Would that be sinful? Well, the answer is here. Say it. Freedom. As a child of God, you and I are redeemed by Christ. We're forgiven. The curse of law has been broken from us. And there is nothing wrong, catch this, there's nothing wrong buying meat that's offered to a pagan idol because an idol does not exist. It's phony. It's fake. It's just meat. If the idol doesn't exist, there's nothing wrong with it. Due to Christian freedom, there's also nothing wrong with a Christian going to a tavern, a bar, and even going to a gambling casino. There's nothing wrong and sinful about that. Now, of course, what a person does in those places may be sinful, and their behavior there and their objective to be there may be sinful, but we have been granted Christian freedom to do so. Much like in Corinth, if you want to buy the meat that's sacrificed to pagan idols that don't exist, there's nothing wrong with that. But we are called to a greater rule. Can you read the verse with me? Love your neighbor. Okay? So Paul's response is, I want you to be winsome. If buying that meat, that sacrifice to a pagan god on a pagan altar in a pagan temple offends a weaker brother and sister in Christ, don't do it. If going to a tavern, if a pastor in a bar, if a Christian in a gambling casino, if I'm a pastor and there's a gambling casino and I go to it and there's a member of my church who is addicted to gambling, I might be leading my brother and sister to sin. Don't do it. Be winsome. to go to a tavern when I have a friend or someone who sees me doing that when they struggle with alcoholism and substance abuse issues, don't do it. And likewise in Corinth, if there's a weaker brother and sister in Christ that cannot understand that there's no such thing as an idol, and they see a person buying that meat and it offends them, don't do it. Now in everyday life, don't talk about topics in front of people that offends them and that causes division. Be sensitive to someone with what's going on in their life before we talk about something or do something. Why? Because love builds up. The greater rule is to love and to abstain from doing so. Be winsome. Even though we have a right to do it, doesn't mean it's good to do it. We might be offending someone in the faith, and be winsome. Win that person for Christ. Or, can you read 1 Corinthians 16:14 with me? Do everything in love. Be sensitive to those around us. Don't offend someone to sin. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. A mature Christian has responsibility. We have big shoulders. If somebody offends us, we can always say we're sorry and talk to them. We can always bear the burden. Be winsome. Love them in spite of what their weaknesses are. Love them for the sake of Christ. Be winsome to them. Now, the good Dr. Martin Luther, he sort of summarizes this in his book, Freedom of a Christian. He says this. Can you read it with me? A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Follow along. So as a Christian, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I'm free. If you want to eat meat sacrificed to an idol, fine. You want to go to a tavern, okay. You want to go to a gambling casino, you're not going to sin there, that's okay. You're free to do everything. But on the other hand, as a believer, I'm a servant to all, and I look out for the well-being of all. And if it offends or hurts somebody else, I will not do it. Why? Because I'm a servant to all, subject to all. And I do not want to offend somebody who is weak in the faith. So I will not do that. That is love. That is sacrificing for the well-being of others. I started at the seminary, the Church in Conflict. Let's talk about the Church in Conflict some more. I started in the seminary in March of 1999. And those of you who don't know me, about 20 years ago, I was the director of Christian education about, 13 miles up the road at St. Paul Napoleon. And that's when I began the seminary. My first class was parish administration. Woo-hoo! Even before I took Greek. And I remember what my professor there said. In spite of all the administration, he said this: there's going to be people who are going to disagree with you. They might not like exactly what you do. They might not care for your sermons or different things. But this is going to be your response to them. Love them. It's not personal. What? Love them. I don't like what you said about this. Love them. I'm not sure I agree with the pastor on that. Love them. Love them into submission. It's okay to disagree. We're still going to love each other. Love them. If they're offended by you going into a tavern, don't do it. If they're offended with the whole meat thing in Corinth, don't do it. Love them into submission. Something I, by the grace of God, need to work on. I'm sure we all do. Love that person in submission. In your own life, someone who struggles with you, is upset with you, what? Love them. Or you know, can fill this out for me. Kill them with what? Kill them with kindness. Love them. You see, Christ is winsome. He's always winsome. He's patient with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Zacchaeus, even though the Pharisees shunned you, I'm coming to your house today. I want to talk to you. I want to love you. He healed the Roman centurion's daughter, even though Christ came first for the Jews and then for the Gentile. Matter of fact, the centurion said, "Lord, you say the word and you'll be healed." And Jesus said, "Great is your faith. I don't have to go there. My word's powerful enough." He fed the multitude. There were 12, 15,000 people. He taught them, and there was no 7-Elevens or Taco Bells or Burger Kings open. So he was compassionate on them, and he fed them. He was winsome. My last day on that Disney cruise I was telling you about, the ship came into port in Vancouver, and my wife and I, we had a room on the lower floor, and so we were on sea level. I looked out the porthole, and it's pretty cool. And here came this barge filled with gas and diesel gas, and it's going to fill up the ship again Disney's going to turn around and have another cruise that start another cruise that day. And I watched them coming in. There's two workers on that barge that came closer to the ship to dock, and they're attaching the hoses. And there I saw two Disney employees carrying out big breakfasts to those workers. I don't think they charged them. That's part of the Disney experience, the love. He was winsome. He fed the multitude, just like Disney was winsome. He lovingly corrected Peter and his disciples. He was winsome. He didn't tell them off. He didn't cuss at them. He lovingly corrected them. Be what? Winsome. And he loved himself into submission on the cross. Winsome. For you and I, lousy sinners, he died. He who knew no sin became sin that we might not have sin. And on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." He was winsome. We're called to be winsome. My prayer is this: God bless us, that all of our ministries are what? Winsome. Forgive us, Lord, when we're not. Attractive, pleasing, innocence in appearance and character. My hope and prayer is that when people come by our church, they hear about our church in school, we're winsome. Look what they do. Look who they are by God's grace, by his favor and power. So how about this for a closing thought? Can you read it with me? "And these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." And all God's people say, amen.